Hold your Bibles up high. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the center, the one that sees into, discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Teach us, God. Lead us, guide us, protect us, bless us, prosper us into all truth in Jesus' name. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. Though he comes immediately to steal the word and distract your people, he will not do so. I declare this word is going to the good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God praise. Once again, come on, just try to clap your hands. Now, let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am a doer of God's word. And because I'm a doer and not just a hearer, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. You know, God is a God that we should honor on Father's Day. He is one that knows how to take care of us. It is so wonderful to be able to have a God that's more than enough for us and takes care of us in every way we can even think of. Last week, we gave you Ephesians 3:20. Go to Ephesians 3:20 once again. And I want you to see the scriptures here. And my question to you, because we need to learn what we're living according to. Are you living according to the dictates of your father? That's my question. I got several of them today. Are you living according to the dictates of your father? You probably say to yourself, which one? Well, I'm glad you said that because we're going to deal with several. Many people have divorced their fathers. They have given up on trying to have a relationship or even follow the life that their father has exuded, and they want to go their own way. I remember about 10, 15 years ago on the news, there were people that were young people, teenagers, that were having ceremonies to divorce their fathers, divorce the family. It was popular for a little while, and then it died off. Maybe people still think of that way. God is the ultimate father. And we should never divorce ourselves from the ways that he is. Because he's a good God. He's a wonderful father. Say amen to that. Now, for a lot of us here, we have gone through a process of maybe not having a full divorce, but almost a separation from God. And the reason at 12:54 this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart about the reason why they have done this divorce between themselves and their fathers, including God. It's because they just don't want to obey them. Fathers are there to train. Children are there to learn and obey. And the reason why children divorce their fathers is because of the fact that they don't want to obey them. And you know, for some, maybe you've got a point. Maybe the father in your life was barely there. You don't remember him. After listening to the men and their children speaking at Dad's at Park and Me yesterday at Ruston Point, Point Defiance. It was amazing to hear how many children, they didn't talk. And these were, some of them were adult children, some of them were teenagers. They didn't talk about all the stuff their dads had bought them. Most of them talked about the fact that their fathers spent time with them. And that was the most important thing. I mean, even to tears. Kids want time with their fathers.
I got news for you. When it comes to God, God wants time with the kids. God's been looking for you. And of course, our First Lady shared with us concerning the secret place that God is looking for you. You know, when you spend time with God, you learn to be able to be obedient. You know, I like what Jesse Duplantis said Wednesday night. He said, love makes obedience easy. Love, you might want to write that down if you didn't get it Wednesday. Love makes obedience easy. When you love someone, it's easy to be obedient. So if you cannot be obedient in certain areas, I question your love for that person. If children cannot be obedient to their fathers on this Father's Day, I question the love that they have. Now, of course, teenagers are very elastic. They'll love you one minute and hate you the next. They'll tell you, I can't stand you, but they're crying for you. You know, it's a love-hate relationship. And they grow out of it after a while and realize that we're all blessed to have the DNA of a father in our lives. And I'm saying, because we are created to be able to be like our fathers. I look like my dad. Everybody says that knows him, well, you look like Roosevelt. Well, my name is Don, but you look like Roosevelt. Or as my mom would say with her teeth not in, Robelt. You look like Robelt. Okay, but see, that doesn't mean that I'm obeying Roosevelt. We have to learn to do these things, and this is important. Everybody on the planet has a father. You may not know him, you may be like my wife. She has no idea who her father was. We don't even search for him. We didn't even try to search for him. We flew to Germany and went to all kinds of places, France and Germany and Czech Republic and all these places, trying to track down where she came from. Found her birth records in Stuttgart, Germany. Found out that every 25 years they cover up the graves. So you can't really go and visit the grave of your grandma or your mother that passed away with her mother passing away in the 70s. We didn't know that, but she did. Her father, we have no idea. I don't even know if he knows he has a child called Kathy. Her first name that she was given was Carolyn Michelle Bumgart. I said, you don't need that name. I don't like that name. You look more like Kathy Lynette Schauder. But you know, God even goes through a process of adopting every one of us, because you got a daddy. And a lot of us don't realize the reason why we act the way we do before we come to the Lord is because you're following your father. Jesus said, "It said you will do the things that your father does." So we're never fatherless, really. You're never fatherless. You just shift fathers from the enemy, from the devil, to God Almighty. He's the ultimate father. You know, a good father will not see their child sick and hurting and just leave them. I was watching our television program this morning, which was actually very current. It was from last Sunday, where we were celebrating Juneteenth, if you remember that. And in that teaching from that Sunday morning segment, I talked about being healed, and I used this scripture here quite a bit. And I talked about God performed a lot of miracles in this ministry when it first started out. I believe the devil knows there's more miracles coming. That's why he's acting a fool with us. But he loses all the time. And then, was it Wednesday night? Young man came to me. Was it Wednesday night? Okay. Came to me and said, I think it was before service, anyhow. Said, Pastor. I said, yeah. He said, Pastor. I said, yeah. He said, Pastor, it's hard for me to believe this. Pastor. I said, what? He said, Pastor, I'm cancer free. I want you to come up here, young man. I know you don't want to talk. Give me a microphone. But last Sunday, I was preaching about how God healed Ernestine. Come on, write him. I need a microphone. Ernestine Bell was the lady's name. She got so healed of cancer, and I used this scripture to talk about last week. Monday, the doctors called this man who's been dealing with cancer since he came to this church and said, Pastor Shorter, he told me, Pastor Shorter, Monday, I got a call from the doctor's office, and they told me I am cancer free. Now, am I telling the truth? So can you tell me, I know you don't like talking a whole lot, but can you explain what happened? Now, they haven't called you back and said they made a mistake, have they?
No, they have not.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I've been dealing with this, and it's the Sunday before you preached about trust.
Okay, trusting the Lord.
And not depending on your own
understanding.
We have been paying our tithes a little here, a little there, a little over here. But you informed us it should all come to the house. And that Sunday, after the wife and I had some discussions, we decided to bring it all into the house.
Man, I ain't heard this.
So after that,
she's clapping.
We got the phone call.
What?
That, yes, I was cancer-free, and I can proceed now to get this kidney transplant.
Come on, give God some glory. Now, but some don't sit well with me on this. If God can take care of cancer,
He can take care of anything.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, God is God. He said, I am the Lord. Go ahead and help me out here, because we're gonna lay hands on this man right now. I am the Lord that healeth thee.
I am the Lord that healeth thee.
That's what he said. So if he is the Lord, can I get two men here? Okay, we got another one. If he is the Lord that heals you, then it's up to him to do what he's doing. Okay, so here's what I want to do. It said, believers lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, you recovered from cancer already.
Yes, I have.
Okay. The doctors told you, scientifically examining your body, you have zero cancer in you. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What kind of cancer was it?
Lung cancer.
Okay. We're going to trust that same God for your healing for the kidneys. Okay? Let me have that. Okay? Congregation, extend your hands this way. Come on now. This is church. This is real church. Father, in the name of Jesus. He's saying, speak that scripture. Right now, in the name of Jesus, your word says, now to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God, you have heard his confession that you can heal anything. As I lay hands on him, because believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, I believe the power goes into him now. In the name of Jesus, I curse the sickness. I curse this disease. And I command healing now, kidneys and every other part of this body. I release it. I release it. Just receive that. Put your hands up and receive it. Just receive it. There it goes. Just receive it. Go ahead and receive it. In Jesus' name. Lord says it's done. I'm done. Come on, let's give God some praise. Now, we're going to confess we believe he received his healing, but we're not going to say we got it until the doctors say you got it. We're not against the doctors. We believe that they know how to tell us what we need to pray for. And so we're going to take your medicine, whatever you're taking, keep doing that, go see your doctor, do all that. That ain't going to stop God from working. And let's just believe that God can be able to cause this thing to happen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Cancer, God bless you, sir. Come on, cancer free. Wow. God wants to do much more than that. And he didn't even, he was like, I don't even know if I believe this. I had to have him tell me twice on the phone. Praise God. Okay, I've got a family. Can I take time for this? I done messed up everything else. Come on up here. I want my three children. Can I have my, I want you all to see my three children and my wife, and then we'll take everybody else if you want to come as well. Come on, because I'm thankful for my family. Mrs. Shorter, would you please come? You said I needed to. Some folks don't see a family like this. You know what I'm talking about. And husbands and wives, we don't have any wives. Okay, husbands, could you come on up too? And then we got a couple of grandchildren. Do we have any others in the house? Okay, he's that's it, man. Shoot, do that thing. that's where I look at it. That's good, man. That's okay. No, man, you get on up here. This is what God can do to bless you. I thank God for my oldest, my middle daughter, my son, who's, you know, keeping the shorter name by staying nice and tall. So can you all say, thank you, Jesus? Come on along with us. Come on, can we thank God? Father, we thank God for this family. Call the blessings of God upon my children, upon their futures, and call them protected now from any hurt, harm, or danger. In Jesus' name we call it done. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. Love y'all. Love y'all. Come on.
Group hug.
Group hug. Okay, here we go. Mr. Shorter, would you say something, please? Reverend Shorter.
I just want to say happy Father's Day to my dad. I love you. I thank God for you.
All right.
And happy Father's Day to all the fathers as well. I love my dad. I love my parents. And, you know, to echo what he was saying earlier, if you come up here for any other reason other than to get the word, then you're going to get these hands. I love my parents, and I'm tripping about my parents. So if you got a problem with them, you got a problem with me, you can meet the Smith and Wesson. You come up here for peace. This is Church of Peace. And if you don't come up here for peace, you can get this peace. Amen. Because we don't play about our parents. Amen? Amen. So we know who you are, or at least the gentleman who came up here last week, we know who he is. And so don't come around here, all right? If you don't want no smoke. All right, so we come here to praise God, to learn about the word. Amen.
That's right.
And I love all of you. I love my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thankful that I have such a great father that raised me in the things of God. It's you know, money can't buy, you know, what you've done praise and God. Who you've been to me as my father. I love you. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Don. All right. All right. Thank you very much to my family. We're going to celebrate in a little bit, a couple of more minutes. Okay, you may be seated. This has been a very different service, hasn't it? We've had a lot of different things go on. All right. Let me just use the last few minutes that I have, but we need to give God the glory for stuff like this. When this man of God received his healing, thank God for my family. Thank God for each one of you. All right. Okay, here we go. Praise God. Now, I took you to this Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in who? Works in who? According to the power that works in you, right? Works in you. So that's faith at work. You know how you see these songs, Men at Work? Faith is at work in you, and 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 all of us. And we have to let it work. Now listen, you need to thank God, the Father, and thank God that he is your Father if you've received him. If you have not yet, by the time this service is over, you can be able to receive this wonderful Father called God Almighty. Now, he is a father to the fatherless. I witnessed that with my wife. When she found out that the family that she had been living with for 18 years turned out to be strangers. They were not her sisters and brothers and mother and father. They had kept a secret from her for 18 years. When I met her, 15 years old, well, actually, I had seen her, but she had snaggletooth, so I didn't pay any attention. When she was 9, I was 10. She had snaggletooth, you know. Anyhow, I had seen her then. Thank God for my best friend, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy by the name of James Smith, that was her next-door neighbor. I would go over and see him, and she was over there because she lived next door to my best friend, James Smith. James, wherever you are, thank you for being my friend so I can meet this woman. But anyhow, I watched this with this woman that found out at 18 years old that her father was not her father. Then she started saying, that's why he physically abused me, hitting me and hurting me when I didn't wash the dishes good enough. That's the reason why he knocked me to the ground one time in the kitchen. Because, see, a real father cares for his children, loves his children. And she turned to me yesterday, my wife turned to me yesterday at Dazza Park and me, and said, you know, I guess I did miss something. God has been so close to me as my father until I didn't even think I missed anything after I reached out to him, after finding out that that man that had abused me physically was not my biological father. I turned to God so much, and I remember that. She took 6 months. We had just got married in a little apartment off of 12th Street here in Tacoma, close to Pearl. And she stayed in that apartment, little one-bedroom apartment, for 6 months just crying out to God. First, angry, very angry. I didn't know what to do. You know, I had 3 jobs. I was trying to make it. And so she's crying out to God. And first she was mad at God, so angry at him. Why did you let this happen to me? Why did you deceive me? I can't trust you. You're a terrible father. She was like that. And she didn't want to have anything to do with God the Father. Physically hit her and stuff like that. And she was just so angry. Why did you let him come in my life? She was mad at her sisters. Why didn't you tell me? You knew I wasn't your sister. She was mad at her mother. Why didn't you keep more pictures of my mother? Why didn't you tell me my father was somewhere else? Why did you deceive me? And so I had to help her, but I didn't know how to. And I watched a fatherless child grow up. And I found out what happens. See, because we got a whole lot of messed up father-son, father-daughter relationships on this planet, especially in America. Kids are hurting, and it's hurting us. It's hurting this country. It's hurting this government. It's a stain on everything. That's the reason I have the vision for Dazza Park and me, to be able to convince the men, hey, listen, stay with that woman, stay with that wife, take care of those children, love the one that God has given to you as a child. Don't abuse them, don't hurt them, don't leave them more than anything, don't leave them. Stay with them. Now, I don't know why women are not jumping from the chandeliers right now. Because don't you want someone to encourage men to be men? Well, that's all we're doing. I did some research. I had Google to help me out in AI. And you can Google the same thing. I Googled about who determines the bloodline of a child, the male or the female. Here's what AI says. Both parents determine the bloodline equally. Now, let's go into this scientifically. I'm going to give you some scientific terms and some ways of explaining that are very scientific that I wasn't able to give even during the first service. But it says, as a child inherits 50% of their DNA, 23 chromosomes, from each biological parent. However, specific parts of the genetic code are determined by only one parent. Mitochondrial, or mDNA, is inherited only from the mother, because all children get their mother's mDNA. This forms an unbroken genetic chain that traces direct paternal ancestry. Now, there is another chromosome that women do not have. This is why I don't care what you feel like, you can't feel your way into becoming a man. This is why you should thank God for fathers, because they have been made specially from the Lord. I believe we have this DNA in a spiritual way from God, the Father. And that he had a son on purpose, for whatever reason, had a son with the same spiritual DNA. It is the Y chromosome. Women do not have the Y chromosome. I don't care how much you feel like a man, you're not one. Sorry. Until you get this chromosome. The Y chromosome, this is not me saying this. This is not even the gospel. This is science. I love science, technology, engineering, math, thus future aviators and all the other stuff has to deal with science. But the Y chromosome inherited only, listen now, only from the father. Only biological males carry the Y chromosome, which is passed directly from father to son. To trace strict paternal bloodlines. For a cleaner breakdown of how genetic lines work, consider these two types of lineages. The M lineage, maternal. What is this, the direct genetic line tracing mother to mother to daughter. How it works? Both sons and daughters inherit that mDNA from the woman or the mother. From their mother, they receive that, but only daughters can pass it on to the next generation. Men, you can't pass that chromosome on, even though you have it. Let's learn more about this straight line. You can be able to understand more parts of that, a little more research. Second thing about this, paternal lineage, or the pDNA, I guess we could say it, from the male, what is that? It's the direct genetic line tracing father to son. How does it work? Since females are XX, they do not have the Y chromosome. Fathers pass their Y chromosome strictly to their male offspring. You cannot become a man. The father ultimately determines the biological sex of the child, while mothers only contribute X chromosomes in their eggs. Sperm cells contain either X or Y chromosome. If an X-bearing sperm fertilizes the egg, the child is female. And that chromosome, that last chromosome, comes from the man. If a Y-bearing sperm fertilizes the egg, the child is a male. So the man determines whether we're going to have a boy or a girl, not two women together, not two men together. This is science. This is not the gospel. This is what scientists have found. It's on your phone. Google it. Get the AI on it. Why do I say that? I believe God revealed to me that we have the Y chromosome from God, the Father, to be able to be neither son nor daughter. Come on now, I'm getting a little deep on that. Because when we go to heaven, there's no male or female. So all of us can have attributes of the Father. You will not be a female there. You will be a person that's been saved. You will not be a male. You will be a person. You will be a neuter. So we need to get excited that God the Father has given us his DNA. He had a son. He could have had a daughter, and he has many daughters. I'm just saying we need to thank God that fathers are in our lives because God created them to be. Now, mothers, we'll talk about you next year in May, but right now I'm talking about the daddies, okay? We need to thank God for having a father, and ultimately, God the Father. Now, you can study more of this, whatever. You can be able to go through it. I think that's pretty simple. The male carries the Y chromosome and determines the sex of the child as to whether it's another X or whether it's a Y. Do we understand? Where's the nurse here? Where's she at? Look. Oh, she's upstairs. Doggone it. Okay. Well, is any physicians in the room? Okay. All right. Well, we'll just leave it at that. Google wins. Okay. Now, I'm almost done here. We're going to go home in just a couple of minutes. We've done a lot of things today. Some things we didn't want to have to do, but we had to do them. The thing is that we need to be able to understand that on this Father's Day, we have many fathers. Do you know how many fathers you have? We have a lot of fathers. And let's start counting some of them. Number one, ultimately, we need to have God the Father. You might want to write this down. Because we need to honor our fathers on Father's Day. And the first one we should be honoring, this place should be packed full so to the gills. People should be waiting on the street to get in here. Because we should all give honor to God the Father on Father's Day. You did the right thing. You came to church. Praise God. We've been worshiping God the Father. It's a little distractions, but we've done that. But here's what it says in my notes here. Number one is our Heavenly Father. Number two, you have a biological father. You can't live on this planet without having a biological father. So even if you don't know him, you don't like him, you don't want to be around him, you don't have no idea who he is, like my wife, you have a father somewhere. You've got to have a father. So on this Father's Day, even if you've never met him, even if you don't know him, if you're angry at him, why don't you write a letter and just say, thank you, Father. My biological father, thank you for being in my life and giving me life. I hate what you did, or whatever you want to say. Take it, fold it up, and maybe take it and throw it into the garbage. But God wants us to be able to honor the fathers in our lives. And this is not a self-serving thing. I'm not saying this because I'm a father. I love being a father. But I'm not saying it because of that. I'm saying it because we need to recognize it's God that has given us the fathers in our lives. We need to stop bashing them, being angry with them. And we need to pray for them. They need help. They are on the front lines. They're the first ones that the enemy wants to attack. He wants to knock out the man, because if he can knock out the man, he's got most of the stuff covered. And so we need to be standing for our fathers. But we have other fathers. I remember my wife and I starting this church. And I had gotten the left foot of fellowship from the Baptist church, which my grandfather and my father were both pastors of Baptist churches. Actually, my grandfather was a pastor of two churches at the same time down in Alexandria, Louisiana. He would do one at 11 o'clock in the morning, another one about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he had two churches, Live Oak and Oakland, in Alexandria. And so I had seen these fathers in my life, but I got a left foot of fellowship from the Baptists. They sort of booted me out. Not really. I mean, they just said, you don't know how to hoop. Do you all know what hooping is? Well, they said, I didn't know how to hoop, so I wasn't going to be able to. You can't preach here no more because you don't know how to hoop. I still can't do it. Oh, yeah. You all that's been, you know, you've been around, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't know how to do that. All I know how to do is teach the word of God by the anointing. They said, so if you can't hoop up in here, you ain't going to do nothing in this city of Tacoma. I said, okay. And so they basically just said, you know, we don't need you over here. So I was without a father spiritually, because you need a spiritual father. That's the third father that you really need. You have God the Father. You got a biological father. Now, if you don't have God the Father, the Heavenly Father, you got the devil as your father. We are always with a father. You are never fatherless. You came here with a father. His name was Satan. And we switch fathers when we come to Jesus Christ. It's in your Bible. Jesus said, your daddy is the devil. And it's true until you come to Jesus Christ. And then God the Father, his father, becomes our father. And we pray through Jesus Christ to get to the Father. And the Father has everything. And so when we have a relationship with God the Father, it has to go through Jesus Christ, because he paid the price for you to have a relationship with his Father. So we're adopted in God's family. All of us Christians are adopted. We're just like Kathy. She was adopted, but didn't enjoy the family. They lied to her. Her father beat her. There was all kinds of stuff that happened in that family. But when you come to God the Father, he's not like that. He's a different kind of father. So I needed a spiritual father covering over me, because I wasn't going to be out here. I know if you're going to lead, you need a leader above you. You need to follow somebody. And so I wasn't going to be out here preaching the gospel and telling people what thus said the Lord and couldn't hear somebody correct me. So I submitted myself. First, I had a choice. I had a choice here in the Northwest of a preacher that I had attended his church a little bit. And I said, well, I'll make him my father. The Lord said, no, you're not. That is not your father. Your father in the faith will become who is now known as Apostle Frederick Casey Price. At the time, it was Dr. Price. You are going to go under Dr. Price, and he will become your spiritual father. I learned everything from him. You saw my family? Part of that is because of Dr. Frederick Casey Price taking us into his house and showing us how he lived, having us stay with him and his wife as he goes from all the different things he had to do in the ministry. You see what's going on in this ministry, a ministry of excellence? That's because of the father that I had, the spiritual father that showed me that excellence is the way to go. You see how I bring my wife in, open the door for her to get in the car, don't just slam the door and just walk in myself? That's because I watch Dr. Price. You see me at dinner, how I treat my wife and pull the chair back for her first, put her up before I just go down and sit down and grease. That's because I watch my father, my spiritual father, who has some class. You see us on television with the bills already paid before the program runs. That's because I learned faith from my spiritual father. You need a spiritual father. And some of us are, well, the Bible says it. I don't like using this word. We're spiritual bastards. That's what a fatherless child is considered, a bastard. And God doesn't want you to continue to be that. I didn't cuss. It's in Hebrews. Number four, besides your spiritual father, because Paul was a spiritual father, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Amplified says, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Who's your son? Who's your father in the faith? I still have, Dr. Price passed away a couple years ago. He's still my father in the faith. I still hear him. I can still see what he would do in situations. I was in board meetings with Fick Witham, the Fellowship of Inner City Word of Faith Ministries, on his board. For almost 20 years, I can see how he handles and conducts his board meetings and what he does with his executive board, which was his family. I was with him when he bought his airplane. Talked to him. I watched him build the faith dome. So when we started building this, I had seen it. You need a spiritual father. It says also here, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, Amplified, says, this charge and admonition I commit in trust to you, Timothy, my son. Who's your father? Some of you think you're so hot that you can be able to handle yourself even spiritually. You need a father. You need somebody that's going to guide you. Somebody's not going to be afraid to tell you, you shouldn't do that. And see, and if you can't be corrected, maybe you are an illegitimate child. You need to learn how to enjoy correction. The Bible says one that's corrected and gets a stiff neck, gets an attitude. There is no remedy for them. They will die or they will be destroyed, and there is no remedy. So we are never to buck up against our God. Say, how dare you tell me to do that? Because he's God Almighty and you're not. He said, just be holy because I'm holy. Get like me. I like to say get right or get left. God loves us so much. He even gave us grandfathers. That's another form of father. You should definitely have your children around their grandparents if they're godly people. They need that input that you can't give them. Very little did I learn from my grandfather and grandmother. My grandmother was half French, Louisiana, that explains it. French quarters and all that stuff. My grandmother would walk around, her hair was down to her, almost past her rear end, and she would walk around chewing gum. Junior! Calling my dad, he was a junior. Junior! Get over here. I still remember that. She loved God. She prayed all the time. Junior, where you at, Junior? We go down and visit her in Louisiana. You need grandparents in your life. That's why some of your kids are acting a fool. Because grandparents can say stuff to the kids that perhaps you can't. They come from a different place. You need that help. And we need to be able to realize all of these fathers, a grandfather. Then we have what we call a godfather, small g. A godfather. One that is put in their lives just to be able to be part of their lives in some kind of way. Most of us have fake fathers. Hang around somebody, hey, that's my dad over there. I'm so sick of people lying, that's my cousin. You ain't a bit more related to them than the man in the moon. See, we have people like coaches, professors, and of course the dreaded father-in-law, which I am. I am a father-in-law 3 times. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. I was drafted. I didn't ask for it. There's some hazard to that work. So we need the fathers in our lives. And today, as you celebrate, celebrate all the fathers. But start with God the Father. Start with your Heavenly Father and give him praise and thanksgiving. God says in his word, this is the last thing I'll tell you today. I declare, this is what David wrote, I will declare the decree of the Lord. Psalms 2:7. I will declare the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Say, I am his son. I am his daughter. Come on, say it. If you're his daughter, say it. If you're his son, say it. You are my son. That's what God says. This day, I declare, I have begotten you. Wow. Haven't you heard of Jesus Christ being the only begotten son of God? God sees us the same way. We are begotten of the Father. We need to give God some praise, have faith in his word, follow him, do what he says. Come on now, let's get excited about God the Father. Now, maybe you never had a father in your life, or maybe your father didn't spend any time with you. It's time for you to forgive and move on. Those scars go a long time. Sometimes a whole life is filled with the feelings of my father not being there for me. But you need to give it up and stop being angry. And on this day, pick up the phone, pick up the pen, get your computer, get something, get a piece of paper and a pencil, and express something to your father, even if they're gone, like I said. Write it, ball it up, and throw it in the garbage. At least you got it off your heart. Father God, we come to you today and we thank you for this opportunity. Though we were distracted, we got what you said. We thank you, Father, that there's nothing whatsoever to stop us from receiving from you, the ultimate Father. And on this Father's Day, we honor you first before we go out and have our dinners and barbecues and all those fun things. We take out time to honor you, God, because you are the one that gave us our spiritual fathers. You're the one that gave us our fathers-in-laws. You gave us all of our coaches that somewhat fathered us. You gave us the professors that we looked up to like father figures, mentors that have helped us, others that have taken care of us, our biological father. You protected him long enough to birth us. So we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. Let's make a confession. Say, God, I have no other father that will be with me through eternity to take care of me but you. You are it. And I trust you, Lord, with all my heart. I don't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways today, I acknowledge you as my Father. Please, God, Father, direct my path in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's thank God. Woo!